verse 3 in number 12. It says, "Speak, O Lord, and I will hear thee. Let thy will be done indeed. May I undisturbed draw near thee while thou dost thy people feed. Here a life of fountain flows. Here is balm for all of our woes. I'm thankful this morning that we have a God who cares about us. He knows our hearts, he knows our struggles, he knows our woes, and he has the healing balm for all of our woes. This past week, we were reminded of how short life is. James 4, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Our lives are in God's hands. Our dear brother, John Deemer's life of 57 years, 1 month, and 25 days is over. And it's a reminder that our lives are completely in God's hands. And our days are numbered. And we don't know what that number is, but God does. Some questions that challenge me in times like this is, am I ready to meet God? Am I living a life that brings glory to Him? Are we doing everything we can to help others on their journey of life? Saying goodbye in this way to someone we loved is hard. It brings pain. It brings tears to our eyes and pain to our hearts. But it's times like this that have a way of drawing us closer together and closer to God. I would just like to take a little time to reflect on some of the promises that God has given us. Let's turn to John chapter 3. This was when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus had sought him out at night privately, trying to have a heart-to-heart conversation with Jesus. And these verses I know are very familiar. But we're going to jump in at verse 14. And we'll read verses 14 to 16. They're very familiar words, but I just want us to think of them as a promise from Jesus. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," this was a setting where the children of Israel were being punished, and there was serpents that were biting them and causing them to die. And God gave them a sign. He told him to make a brazen serpent and lift it up on a pole, and anyone that would look on that would be saved from death. And it says, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, the same way, even so, must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus was telling him that he was going to be lifted up on a cross and die. And it says that whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we believe in Jesus as the only begotten Son of God, we are promised eternal life. Another one is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to just read verse 13 to the end of the chapter. Again, somewhat familiar words. But again, they're a precious promise that we have from God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. I believe this is Paul's writing. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He's talking about people who have died. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or not go on before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is a comfort to me, especially. When we think of times like this, when there's parting, when there's pain, someone who has gone on to their eternal reward, someone we loved, we have the hope of seeing them again. It says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again and live for him, we will have this promise that when Jesus returns, and he will, we will be caught up together with all those who have gone on before us to be with the Lord forever. What a promise. In Revelations chapter 21. I'm just going to read the first four verses. It says, and I saw, this is John writing in his heavenly vision, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I think we'll read on a little further. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Another promise. If we live for him, God will be a father to us. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. It's the one who overcomes. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Times like these inspire us to keep on living for him because of the promise that we have of heaven. In the hour of temptation, we have the power to overcome through the blood of Jesus. We have the power to be overcomers, not on our own strength, when we rely on his strength. Brothers and sisters, let's keep on. I think of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where it talks about the great cloud of witnesses. The examples are the people, the faithful people who have made it to the end, to the finish line. The example that they have left us, saying that it can be done. Brother John has made it to the finish line, faithfully. Thinking of the promises of God, I'd like to just read a song. It's in our Christian hymnals. I don't think there's any here at the benches, but number 475 in the Christian hymnal is a song titled, What God Hath Promised. God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. God hath not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. God hath not promised smooth roads and wide, swift easy travel needing no guide. Never a mountain rocky and steep, never a river turbid and deep. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, and light for the way. Grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Memories of John Deemer could probably be shared for quite some time. As was mentioned, we would like to open it up here. I just want to share a few things. First of all, in my memories of John, I think of him as a very unselfish person. He was always someone who was ready and willing to help other people. One Sunday morning, after the message, after the service, I remember him commenting on a couple verses in Hebrews 12. It was verses 12 and 13. I had brought a message about running the race. And he really, those two verses really stood out to him. Verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which be lamed, that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. John was someone who was looking out for other people. Someone who cared about other people and tried to make the path easier for those behind. And I'm challenged this morning to try to help fill his place in that calling. I'd like to open it up. Is the mic available there? Okay. Anyone who would like to share memories of John, maybe something that stood out years ago, maybe something that's recent in your mind, an inspiration that you received from his life. Anyone who wishes to share, raise your hand. Stanciano.
Well, first I want to share something that really impressed me when he had a topic at one time, compared Jesus and Jews. Can tell he studied very well there. It really caught my attention. I really appreciate it. Actually, I want to ask him his notes, so I never did. And because it really impressed me. That is in the church, with the church of people. Now with the neighborhood. They had some neighbor there, three men have blind. And Andrew used to drive for them, whatever they need. And through Andrew, I learned that at least a demon was the driver from them. And that told me that John and Lao care for the neighbor there. And sacrifice his wife to God, and he was a very busy man. And he was ready to share his wife's time with another needy people. And we know he had a lot of neighbors touched by him. When every need some place to go, he encouraged me, he'll find a place. So really appreciate your job.
Thank you for that. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, we knew John for quite a few years back at Indian Creek. And as a growing up boy, he was older in his teens, but we knew him through the years. But that last devotion he had on commitment, I'm committed, are we? I can't remember all the details, but I could just see him up there right now, commitment. And then we were able to visit him the last Sunday a number of weeks ago. A reminiscing history, reminiscing our old folks, how this one passed on, how this one related to who. And it was so touching. When you come away, you just draws you together. And he was very helpful, like Stashana said. He was helping them blind people. He helped this person, that person, and down through the ages. But it reflects back to his dad. His dad was a kind. And we learned history, how his dad was saved. He was a boy and an orphan. And somebody stopped along the road and picked him up and took him to church. And that stuck with John. And you could see through the ages, through the time. And how are we doing today? How is our Good Samaritan doing? Do we see needs, or do they just pass by? And I want to be more faithful in helping the needs, because he has young boys. He told me that we need older men, we need fathers to teach our young fellas. And he kept his family together. We weren't perfect, but he did what he could. And I told the boys, your father did what he could while he was alive, and now it's up to us. So we have to pray for the family and be a good example.
Thank you. Go ahead, Wes.
So I think I knew John since I was about 10 or 12, somewhere there. And he was always this big man that we knew and very friendly. And I think there's a lot of ways where he directly and indirectly affected our lives. There's probably a lot of young men that would have gone on a hunt with him somewhere. I remember as teenage boys, he would invite us on hunts. And, you know, that was how I met David Wheeler the first time. Been the man where he was, the shed there where he was the other night. It was, we were hunting, and there was so many other ways where he touched lives. I don't think anybody knew their neighbors like John. I would talk to various people, and everybody knew John Deamer. And he's been a great inspiration to me. And I believe we have big shoes to fill, to fill his place, to be the neighbors we should be.
Thank you for that. Brother Dave?
So obviously I haven't known John as long as the rest of y'all, but I was one of those people that was directly impacted by his helping. A number of years back, I was attempting to learn how to skate and hurt my foot really bad, and of course I lived by myself, and who do you think showed up to take me to the hospital? And it was John and Lisa. Took me in and didn't control the situation, just took me there and paid my bill and brought me back home and gave me some food. And of course that really stuck in my mind. And you know, I've never forgotten that. And you know, that's makes me feel like helping them and also helping anyone else who's in need around me.
Thank you. Leo?
I probably don't have as many years and memories as most of you do. It's probably been about 10 years since we moved up. But I am grateful to know John. John and Lisa are probably the ones that made us feel the most welcome. Spent many hours helping with our house, cleaning it out, and just were generally interested in us. As was mentioned, he was a people person. We guess there's a lot of things he did for people that none of us will ever know. I know the neighbor out the back, he took him to the hospital regularly, didn't get anything in return for it, but John was there. As years go, if the Lord tarries, my memory of John will be him driving past my place, raising his hand and waving with a big smile on his face. It wasn't unusual for me to drive down the roads in our neighborhood and see John pulled off of the neighbor's house on the end of the driveway, just taking time chatting with him. I did have a little bit of interaction with John when I was a boy. I was in school in Indy Creek, I think it was first grade, and he was in his last year. And beginning of the day of school, there was always a game of prisoner's base going. And I guess this memory stuck with me because I was so frustrated. John was teasing me, I was trying to catch him, and he would just stare out of my reach, just that big smile John had on his face, just teasing me. And I was just really frustrated. But John was a good neighbor, and I thank the Lord for having him in my life.
Thank you for sharing. Leland? Go ahead, Willard, first.
I'm thankful to have known John Deamer. He was born, I see, in 1968, and I tried to think back as to what I was doing at that time. And I believe I was had just been about out of 1W service down in Allentown. And so there were some years between, but John lived out his allotted time, or the time that God wanted his will and purposes fulfilled here. And I believe he made an impact on others around him, as we can see that he heard from, he was helpful, he helped others. And it was probably until about 1990s till I ever learned to know John. But I do remember at Liberty being a deacon, and John was the chairman of the trustees. And there was some pressure on that we ought to be getting that the cemetery, get that set up so that if we need it, we have it. And John was faithful in paying attention to it and putting himself out. He did maybe feel the pressure a little, and he looked at me and said with a smile, he said, "I guess one of us is going to have to die to get this started." And I just had to think, now he is the first one in it. And I don't look at it as a joke, but I think of it as the fact that God had a purpose for his life and directed it. And I'm thankful that I knew him. I do recall in not long ago, my wife and I talked that John has some good thoughts when he gets up front there. And I could tell that it was something that he experienced. It wasn't just something he heard told about, but something that he had experienced. And I feel like a better person to have known him.
Thank you. Go ahead, Charlotte.
So I don't have a lot of specific memories about John, but I've known him ever since my family has lived in this area, 20-some years, and it's been mentioned already. John was a very friendly person, and took time for people. And that is one thing I remember about in my younger years when I was getting out to experience hunting for the first time. I remember going out with John and the boys on more than one occasion that John took the time to do that, and I enjoyed that and appreciated it. Something more recent that I recall about John is us as brothers sitting around at a brothers meeting, and I don't remember what the context was, but John spoke up pretty passionately about, well, Bill mentioned about his devotions, about commitment, and what he had to say was somewhat along those lines, but just about taking serious the choices that we make every day and where they're going to lead us. And you could tell by how he said it that he really believed it. And so I appreciate having had the chance to know John and have him as a friend.
Thank you. We have Leland back here. Is there anybody else in the front here that would like to share first? Go ahead and pass it back.
I think probably the most common theme we're going to hear throughout this weekend is John's commitment to helping people. And that has been a big challenge to me and will continue to be. The amount that he has reached out to those around him, I think it was something that he put pretty close to the top of his list. And yeah, something that I'm going to have to work out a long time before I get to the same place John was. But something I was thinking about, and we're all quite aware, but John was a big person, and I was talking to my wife about what do you think our new bodies look like in heaven, and do you think John is just as big in heaven as he was here? And she said, I think that people's new bodies in heaven is in proportion to the size of their heart, and I think she's right. And
John had a really, really big heart, and they say a heart attack took him here. And I think the possibility is that his heart just got too big for his physical body. And I would hope that my heart could be as big as John's was for looking out for those around him and other people.
Thank you for that. Go ahead, pass it back there.
Good morning. I'm Darrell East. I'm brother to Leo. I'm a little older, and so my memories go back a little bit further. And I echo Billy Leister here in his memories. And I just like to pay tribute to Al Deemer, John Mark's father. Billy mentioned that he was an orphan and come through some rough times. He came into the Anabaptist church and then married a Christian lady. And then Eunice and John Mark and Isaac and Aaron were the product of that union. And I'd like to pay tribute back to, we talked a lot about John and his heart, but I'd like to pay some tribute to Al. Al had some unique handicaps, but yet he was amazing in his own way. He was a very loyal, hardworking man in his own capacity. He provided for the family, and he was very faithful in what he did at his work. And also, one of the memories that we have, some of us, of him, he often was used as a janitor in the churches that he was a part of. He was a very good janitor. When I was a child, we went to a little church in Roars Ford. It was a little city church like this. And sometimes in the spring, they would open up the front doors beside the pulpit, and it lead to the outside. And somehow a bird got inside, and Al was desperately trying to chase that bird down during the service. That was quite fascinating. He took his job as a janitor very seriously. Another time in a church setting where he was janitor, a young family had a child that threw up, and he was right on it. And he insisted, the mom said, look, we'll take care of you. He said, no. He said, he was offended. He said, I'm the janitor. He wouldn't let him. He said, he took his job very seriously. And I like to think that that dedication, that faithfulness was passed on to his progeny. And I think we see that in John Mark. So just a tribute to John Mark's father. I just wanted to bring that out, Al Deemer. And another thing I have a memory of John Mark is when I was young, too, in school, he was a few grades older than I was. And he was, as they mentioned, he was a big, strong young man. And we could count on when the bases were loaded and we needed a home run, John Mark could usually smack it up to the back of the schoolhouse. So he was indeed very much appreciated for what he could do in that sense. So I have memories of that. We were pretty impressed, some of those younger ones. Let's get John Mark up there. He can do it. And, yeah, he was a heavy slugger. So just some memories, and just wanted to pass that on. And I'm glad that you up here over the years had him and his family's contribution, and could appreciate him for what the blessings they were here in this community.
Thank you for sharing. Go ahead, LaVon.
So this was mentioned numerous times, but how John took time for his neighbors, and that's one thing that always impressed me about John. I got quite a few calls from people that needing electrical work done, and they had gotten my name through John, and it was very apparent to me that he took the time for his neighbors and was very involved in their lives. And I don't think there was anybody in Oregon Hill that didn't know John Deemer. And so, that's one thing that I aspire to be like John, and take the time for those around me and welcome new people. And it's just something that always impressed me about John.
Thank you. Anyone else? I don't want to cut anybody off. As you were sharing about his dad, Al, just stood out to me how we as dads make an impression on our children. challenged by that. Are we making a good impression on those behind us? There's no one else. I'm sure there'll be more times to share. I'm just going to read Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and that includes John now, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, let's keep on. And let's take the inspirations that were left by Brother John and continue passing them on to those behind us. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.